I've been doing a series on biblical worldview. And what we've been doing is taking the stories from the book of Genesis and show how those stories in that book help us to have right thinking as Christians today. That's what we mean by worldview, our whole outlook on life. And I've explained that over this series, but this time we're going to look at work and rest. Now, some of you will be more excited by one half of that than the other. Okay, I'm not sure which category each of you will be in, but there's a biblical attitude to work and to rest. And what we're going to do is read some scriptures, make some comments on those scriptures, and then if we've got time, I'm going to tell another story from the book of Genesis, which will illustrate the point further. So, we're going to read right from the beginning of the Bible, from Genesis chapter 1, and the scriptures will go up on the screen, but we start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Then, a few verses later, verse 15, it says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." So you see, God had worked, then he created man to work. Then, after Adam and Eve had sinned by eating the fruit they shouldn't have eaten, it says this, "To Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you'll eat of it all the days of your life. It'll produce thorns and thistles for you, and you'll eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." Okay, so what does this teach us about work? Well, firstly, God worked, the Bible says. God worked, achieved his purpose, then rested on the seventh day. It says in the scripture, God worked and looked at what he'd made and saw it was good. Now, this is putting it in language so that we can understand. It's not actually, as we'll see from scriptures later, that God suddenly let the universe all go by itself on the seventh day. He was still sustaining it by his power, but he was using this as a way to teach us about work. You know, Scylla, as you know, is creative. I'm not. Okay, well, I can be a bit creative with words, but nothing else. Okay. And sometimes she's made something or painted something and then invites me down to her studio at the end of the garden. What do you think? And it's not often that she says to me, because she's really looking for my approval, she'd often say, "I've done something and it's great." Okay? Because usually we wait for somebody else to say that. And I usually duly oblige. Sometimes, because, you know, as a Christian pastor, I need to be honest. So, sometimes I say, well, it just needs a little adjustment. But the Bible says God, and it's as if he's a craftsman that has made the universe. And then he looks at it and says, what I've done is very good. That's how the Bible presents it to help us understand what this working is all about. So God worked. He achieved his purpose. So we don't want to just be purposeless. Someone once said, if you aim at nothing, you're sure to hit it. Think about it. Okay, so he achieved his purpose, then rested on the seventh day. We are created in his image. Therefore, we are created to work, to achieve our purpose, and also then to rest. We were created to work before sin came into the world. Often people look at the scripture that we read a little bit later and saw how poor old Adam had to deal with the thorns and the thistles and all the rest of it. And it's amazing what happens to a garden if you don't work in it for a while. Okay, and we sort of think, I don't suppose many of you have had that experience, have you? Just leaving it for a few months, you know. And so there's thorns and thistles now about work, but actually, work wasn't essentially about that. We were created to work before before sin came into the world. Actually, I believe that also means that when we are restored in the new heaven and new earth, I've done teaching here about that, that our future destiny is not floating around on clouds somewhere. Our future destiny is with bodies in a new heaven and a new earth, risen like Jesus. When Jesus was in his resurrection body, he worked. He prepared breakfast for his disciples on one occasion. That was work. And so, although in one sense it's rest, because everything has been completed, it's not ceasing activity. In fact, the picture the Bible puts about the new heaven and new earth is everybody under their own vine and under their own fig tree. Well, there won't be thorns or diseases to strike the vine and fig tree, but you'll still have to go and pick them and, you know. So works forever. Does that fill you with joy? Okay, because we were created to do things with purpose. And God rejoiced in the effective completion of the purposes of all his work. And work for us is to be purposeful, not meaningless. You know, any good employer would try and show his employees why they are doing it. You know, we need to stimulate our children that way, don't we, as well, you know? Sometimes, well, what's the point in learning this? And we need to show them the amazing satisfaction that comes through learning to spell and things like that. Okay? God intends us to be purposeful and not meaningless. Now, when I say at work, the problem is, in the way we use that expression today, is that we mean employed or earning money, or self-employed and earning money. Okay? But work is not just a question of what you do to make money. It's the concept of meaningful labor. So, voluntary work, because you're not actually employed now. You may be retired, but you're still doing things to purpose. Okay?
Now, often retired people say to me, I'm looking forward to the day when I'll be able to say the same thing, but retired people say to me, I don't know however I found time to go to work, okay? What that means is they are still engaged in something purposeful and meaningful. And that's what God's talking about here, okay? Even if for a time you are unemployed because you've lost your job, it's important and part of this, it's important to, and we need to pray for you to get a job again because that gives dignity as well as providing finances. But also, it's important when unemployed to find things to do which are meaningful and purposeful until you get another job. It includes housewives and house husbands. And it includes helping others during the day. Includes retirement. There can be an opportunity for still bringing in the kingdom of God through the work that we do. And the Bible says God had job satisfaction. He said he saw that it was good, as we said earlier. Being satisfied in what we do is God's plan for our life. You may say to me, well, you don't do my job. Okay? But I want to talk about that for a little bit because it's important. Being satisfied in what you do is God's plan for your life. In fact, the Bible says this. A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. It's a strange verse in the Bible, isn't it? Actually, do you believe this book? And even these scriptures are inspired to us to help us to show that it's not a question that we've got a spiritual life and an ordinary life. All of our life is lived under God. And the Bible says a man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? How do you find satisfaction in your work if it's a bit boring for a while? By finding God in the situation of your work. To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. Pray that at the beginning as you go to work. Lord, give me, as I go to work today, wisdom, knowledge, and some happiness, please. It's pretty dull what I've got to do, but give me some happiness. But to the sinner, this is interesting, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. Well, that's nice, but that's actually, I would have to teach you on the kingdom has come and the kingdom has not yet come in all its fullness in interpreting that scripture. Okay. But this whole section in the book of Ecclesiastes is in contrast to the meaninglessness when God is not in it. Work without God. Study. Ecclesiastes 1 and 2 talk about work and study and pleasure and laughter and big projects and knowledge and developing skills are all meaningless ultimately because they're bounded by death unless we're doing it for the glory of God. But if we are doing it for the glory of God, we know that everything we do has something that will last into eternity. It's great to go to work with that in mind. Okay, I'm doing this for God, and therefore what I do for God in this will establish something that will last. Job satisfaction is having a job suited to my God-given talents, but also being satisfied in God in what I do. You see, just having money isn't enough. Ecclesiastes says this, whoever loves money never has money enough. All right? You know what the definition of a rich man is, don't you? Someone who's got a few hundred thousand more than me.
And wherever you are, there's always someone ahead. Whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. Have you noticed that? Do you find it in your own heart sometimes? You know, sometimes we think, if I knew back 20 years ago that I would be earning this now, I'd have thought, that's amazing. And then when you get there, if you're looking for money only, it's not amazing after all, and you're still struggling. Then I realized that it is good and proper for a man, and this is a man or a woman, please, it's just the way that the text is phrased on that. Then I realized that it is good and proper for a man or a woman to eat and drink, to find satisfaction in his or her toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given him, for this is his lot. Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions, enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot, and be happy in his work, that's a gift from God. This is very practical, isn't it? As to how we look at things. Because often, work is the greatest source of grumbling. Whereas, in God's plan, work is where you find satisfaction. So job satisfaction is very important, but satisfaction in God and working for his kingdom where you are is true job satisfaction. You understand? So it's good to be creative and achieve something and paint a good picture or go back from the office at the end of the day. I've achieved something today. That's good. Or you've been teaching children at school and you say, they've learned something. That's good. But actually, being with God and rejoicing in him as you do it gives job satisfaction, even if the fruitfulness in what you're actually doing is not as obvious. So, now I know many are not happy in their jobs. Maybe people here are not happy in their jobs. Okay, if you're not happy in your job, be happy in God in your job. I'll illustrate that in a moment. Contentment is an inner quality not dependent on circumstances. Do you believe that? Contentment is an inner quality not dependent on circumstances. Wow. Now, look back as I'm preparing this, looking back on my own working life. I'm still working. You know, it's a myth that I only work one day a week. Okay. So, but I look back and I can think of some things I've done. I remember once, this was early on, I was just holiday job really, between school and university or something like that. I remember I managed to get a job. And this job was working in a laundry where they cleaned all the stuff that came from hospitals. And my job in this laundry was operating the sheet spreader. Okay? Because you had two ladies whose responsibility was to press the sheets. And they took a sheet by each corner, put it into this machine with lots and lots of rollers, and the sheet went all under the rollers. But for them to have corners, they needed a sheet spreader so that the corners were in the right place. Otherwise, it would have been very inefficient. So I would have all these tangled sheets coming in a big trolley, probably about 60, 70 sheets in each trolley. My job was to pull them out, get them lengthways, because if you did them the other way, it's very important. Job satisfaction was getting them lengthways, not this ways, because if they went this ways, they went into the machine the wrong way. And I had to pick them up, put them on a spreader, which I got the two corners in the right place.
this thing spread them out so that all the ladies needed to do there was catch them and put them in. Okay. You understand? Now, this was tremendously exciting work. Okay? Have you ever done sheet spreading? And I did this for about 9 hours a day. Short break at lunchtime. You know, like this, trying to get them untangled from each other. And I thought, is this job satisfaction? But I somehow worked out that God wanted me to be satisfied. I was a committed Christian then. And I remember working this out. I said, yeah. And I used to try and get satisfaction from whether I got about 98% of sheets going the right way through the spreader. Because I wanted to do well at sheet spreading. And I trained myself, and it's helped me throughout my working life. I trained myself to say, I'm going to enjoy sheet spreading. I'm going to enjoy God when I'm spreading sheets, and I'm going to make sure that I do this well. And, you know, I could pray, and I didn't speak in tongues in those days, didn't believe in it. But, that would have been handy, but, because it was a bit noisy. There you are. I remember when I got my first real career job. Now, in those days, because I started off in the public sector, I then went into banking. And in the public sector, I got to a senior position. I was serving on United Nations committees and so on. But I didn't start there. I remember when I started. And in those days, the public sector, I know it's not like that now, but employed too many people. And so I was assigned to this office because they had a vacancy, meaning someone had left, but as far as I could work out, the person that had left had never done anything there. So I went in and they looked at me, well, what are you doing here, you know? Well, I'm appointed, I'm here, ready to start my career. And I was working in the Department of British Government that gave routes to abnormal indivisible loads. That's big lorries. Okay, they called it abnormal indivisible loads. And it was doing routes for lorries so they didn't crash under bridges or knock bridges down when they went over them. Did you know every bridge has how many, what weight on what axles something can go over the bridge? So I start. That was my real meaningful career. And they said, well, we don't know what to do with you. We haven't got any work, you know, for you to do. What you can do is write a list and make an index of every route that's ever been written. No computers then. Oh, for goodness sake, you know. So I became a route list writer. I thought, now, what can I do with this? But, you know, I feel it was a godly thing. God created us to have job satisfaction. So I had to find job satisfaction in writing lists of routes for abnormal lorries. Okay. And so I decided I would learn these routes. I would get acquainted with what bridges you mustn't lock down. Okay. So I was just writing these things out. In the end, after a few weeks, they gave me a route to write for another lorry. And I knew it all. And soon I became the most prolific route writer in that whole place. I loved it. I don't know what the other people did all day, but I just loved it. I could find a route for, you know, I remember, oh no, I won't. Okay, but I'm supposed to be preaching to you, not reminiscing. Okay, but what I saw was You can have satisfaction in a boring job when you have satisfaction in God and you find what creativity you can, because God is a creative God and he's made you to be creative in whatever circumstance. Do you understand? So wherever you are at work, you can be like God. God worked and he said it's great. So we can work and say it's great. Another route written. Another bridge not going to fall down because a lorry hits it. Do you understand? Because this is being like God. This is a biblical worldview. Now it's tougher now. You have thorns and thistles and bosses that make it hard for you. I did. But we'll be creative in our work. Now, work is made much harder and less satisfying as a result of sin. Hence the curse on the ground given to Adam. There will now be problems, seeming work sometimes pointless, thorns to spoil it. But our attitude is still, I will work hard, I will be creative, I will be like God because he's made me. And I will worship God in what I'm doing and through what I'm doing. We're not lazy. Book of Proverbs says that. It says, go to the ant, you sluggard. I love that word. It's one of those most descriptive words in the English language, isn't it? Sluggard. No sluggards here, are there? Now go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. Yeah? Bible's full of wisdom like that. And we work for God. Paul says this, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Jesus Christ you are serving. Okay? When you go to work tomorrow, or for some of you later today, you go in and say, it's Jesus I'm serving here. I may be doing something wonderfully creative. I may be doing something incredibly boring. I may be doing the 21st century equivalent of sheet spreading, but it's Jesus I'm working for. Anyone got a boring job? Don't put your hands up, you know. Your boss might be here as a guest. Anyone can... Then say, but I'm doing it for Jesus. I'm not doing it for my boss. I'm doing it for Jesus because he's going to be glorified through my coming to work. This is what the Bible teaches. So even if it's difficult, the boss unreasonable, your colleague scheming against you, by all means, stand against that, but remember, if you can't do anything about it, you're still working for the Lord, and there is an eternal perspective. Then God rested. Now, God rested for our sake. He didn't need to do so. In fact, God, in another sense, doesn't rest. The Bible says this, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. God doesn't get tired. And his understanding no one can fathom. God rested for our sake. In other words, it's put that way in the Bible so that we can learn the lesson. Because although God, who doesn't have a physical body, doesn't get tired, we who have a physical body, though created in the image of God, do get tired. And when Jesus was here, even though he didn't sin, tiredness is not the result of sin. tiredness as a result of working hard. Do you understand? And so Jesus got tired. And so Jesus says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So God built into his creation rest. Sabbath means just so a day of rest, one in seven. That's what it means. Okay? A day of rest, one in seven. So, what's the purpose of Sabbath? They were saying, is it Sunday or is it Saturday? Don't worry about that yet. What's the purpose of Sabbath? Well, it's to enjoy God. That's why in countries which where most people have Sunday off, I know lots of people don't, and we have to think of ways perhaps of reaching some who don't. Most people have Sundays off. Therefore, we meet on a Sunday. The early church, though, used to meet on a Sunday before people had it off, as we'll see later. But it means that we do enjoy God. That's why worship is an important part of Sabbath. You might say, well, it can be hard work coming to church. Yeah, we have to put the chairs out and play our instruments and all sorts of things. Hard work. But actually, enjoying God in the company of God's people is part of Sabbath. It's not to be neglected. Bible says, don't neglect the assembling, the meeting of yourselves together. It's also to show we trust God. Sabbath was put there to make sure control freaks were undermined. Okay? Because you had to just trust God that day. But I've got to do this. And of course, this is coming sweeping back because of the technological revolution. But I must check my emails. If I don't check my emails, the universe will collapse. Well, I remember one man saying to me who was a Christian and always a bit of a control freak. He said, I finally resigned from being the managing director of the universe. Okay? Because he wasn't. Do you understand? Actually, it's to say, when I rest one day in seven, I say, I'm trusting God. I cannot keep going all the time. And we need, I'm not talking necessarily about just one day in seven, but the idea of having rest means that you can shut the computer down and not look at your emails because you will trust God. I know that's scary to some of you. In fact, some of you can't cope with this at all, emotionally. Is there something? I've got to make sure. No, you haven't got to make sure. That was the point of the Sabbath. In fact, they used to have a Sabbath year where they didn't. So it's to show we trust. They used to have a Sabbath year in agriculture. Okay? Where they just trusted God to eat the food that just grew naturally. Wow, that was to trust God. To rest from a job well done. That's good. Because unlike God, we are created to grow tired and weary. And one day in seven recognizes the rhythm that God has built into his creation. God has made us one day in seven people. It's part of his creation plan. So, we need to build rest in. Now, not everybody can rest on a Sunday. But this principle of saying, I trust God and I relax and I've done the job well, so I'm not going to do the next one immediately, is actually a creation ordinance. But it's not for lots of rules. You see, when I was brought up, there's all sorts of things I couldn't do on Sunday. I could walk in the park on Sunday, but I couldn't kick a ball. Okay?
Somehow that made a difference. I expect them stricter families didn't even walk in the park on Sunday. But I was allowed to walk in the park, but not kick a ball. I remember the first time I saw a Christian kick a ball. When I was about eight, and I saw this Christian teenager kick a ball on Sunday. I thought, but somehow nothing happened. And but it's not lots and lots of rules about what we can do and can't do. It's rather, we devote ourselves to God. We rest. We do things that relax us. But it's not for rules, because man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man, and Jesus said that. Because in the Old Testament, they had lots of rules, because they needed to have rules that kept them separate from the nations around. In the Old Testament, they had to do certain things that were different from the nations around. The nations around, when Moses was writing, said every seventh day was unlucky. They went by the moon calendar, and every 28 days, and every seventh day was an unlucky day. So Moses was encountering that worldview, and he was saying, no, every seventh day you enjoy God. And they had to have rules to keep them separate from the nations around, so they didn't fall into their temptation and idolatry. We have that by the Spirit in the New Covenant. So in the New Covenant, nobody judges you on those sort of things. It says, don't let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. So, the point is to rest. It's not one particular day. Sunday's at the moment in this country still the best time to celebrate Jesus, because most people can do it. In many Muslim countries, the churches meet on Friday, because that's the day that people can get together. So, today, therefore, be careful both to rest and enjoy God. Do you do that? And be careful not to let rest become more stressful than work. Sometimes people say, I need to get back to work for a rest. I'm not sure what job you have, but because somehow on our time off, we've been rushing the kids to here and then to there, and we realize that there's one aunt we haven't seen, and we have to rush up there, and somehow the whole thing becomes stress. And if the other kids at school are going to 14 clubs and we're only going to 13, our children will miss out. And so we let rest become more stressful than work. No, it's to say we trust God. We trust God. Trust God if we bring our children to church. We trust God for that. And if they are missing a vital club that somebody else could go to. You understand? We trust God. That's what Sabbath's about. Well, I was totally unrealistic in my preparation of this, because I had another story from the Bible I was going to tell you, which I'm not going to tell you. Okay? But I'll probably preach on it next time, because it's a great story from the book of Genesis. It's a wonderful story about... Oh, no. Okay. So I'll tell that story next time. But I feel God's just helping us to understand this. Work is good. Aren't you glad you have work to do? I'm not talking just only about... paid employment, remember? If you're not going out to work for some good reason, your work is still a good thing to do. Rest is necessary for all, including those who don't go out to work but work very, very hard. Rest is important. Rest
is to enjoy God and trust him that the tasks not done will be okay because they're in his hands. Now, this is the Bible's teaching. I'll be ever so practical today. And work is to be enjoyed. Do you enjoy your work? Oh, okay. Anyone else? You enjoy your work? That's great. Those of you who don't enjoy your work, enjoy God in your work. And find little creative things you can do. Because it's how God made you. Nothing better than that someone finds satisfaction in their work. Practical lessons from the Bible which teach us so much about all sorts of things. If you're retired, enjoy your work. No, because you'll be doing purposeful things. And enjoy your rest. Because you're also partly on an extended Sabbath, and that's great too. You understand? Because Sabbath's right. Our wonderful God. Let's stand, shall we? And pray.